I'm 26 years old. My name is AJ. I think in our lives, we come to crossroads. We come to places where we have to make a decision. We come to places where we either have to go right or left. We come to places where we can't walk down the middle. We have to make a critical choice. And this happened a few times in my life, a few times in my walk with the Lord. I've been saved for about 16 years, and the Lord has been so patient in walking at my pace. He's been so patient in shaping my life and just being gracious with me. But about 2.5 years ago, I think around May 2014, I was sitting at City College, New York City, at a graduation ceremony. My girlfriend at the time was getting her master's degree in mental health counseling. And I was feeling an immense amount of pressure. I was sitting there with her parents, with her sister, with her brother. I was happy. I was happy for her. She was going forward in her life. She was doing her thing. She had an internship set up for her afterwards. We were both excelling inside the house of God, doing ministry. God was using us in effective ways. But I just had this pressure on my shoulders, on my mind, that my life was going nowhere, that I had no direction in my life. And what made things even worse was my girlfriend and I we had been dating for about 4 years. We've been courting for about 4 years. And everybody that we knew, or most people that we knew, was asking the obvious question, when are you going to get married? And we'd come into church and people would see us and they would encourage us. They would love on us, ask us how our week was going, and somehow would end up getting back to marriage. So when are you guys getting married? And, you know, I'm Indian and Sri Lankan. I come from an immigrant home. My parents worked very hard for everything we have. My grandmother has worked very hard for everything that our family has. And there's a certain value system that's been ingrained in my mind. I can't even think about marriage until I got certain things lined up. So everybody was asking us these questions, and my girlfriend was looking at me at the time and saying, yeah, when are we getting married? Why can't we can't get married? And what made things even worse was we had a peer group in this church, about 6 other couples. And my girlfriend and I were one of the first couples that got together in that peer group. And one by one, each couple started getting engaged. Each couple started getting married. I remember the first time my good friends Jonathan and Maria got married. I was one of his best men, and my wife was her maid of honor. And we're standing up there, and we're enjoying the process, but we're like, man, we can't wait for our day. You know, it's going to be good for our day. And that was like year 2. And then another couple gets engaged, and then another couple gets engaged, and they start getting married. And I start scrolling on Instagram at work, and I see somebody else is getting engaged. I'm like, oh, snap, I'm going to hear it later tonight. You know, my girlfriend's not going to be happy about this. And, you know, she would come, and she would be like, why can't we get married? This couple makes half the salary that we make. God's doing miracles in their lives. You know, why can't he do miracles for us? We just got to step out, and we just got to do it. You know, I'm 24 years old. She's getting her master's degree. She's amazing. You know, she had everything lined up on paper, and it was grace. You know, my brother-in-law Harold talked about today how he failed a couple of classes, and he don't know how he has one class left. Well, I don't know how I got her to be my girlfriend. I really have no idea. You know, I really had no education. I really wasn't going anywhere. I made a lot of mistakes. You know, I had a pretty good testimony that God's been doing in my life, but that's about it. I wasn't going anywhere. And now that I was contemplating this question, I had a deep feeling in my heart. Not yet. Not now. You know, by the grace of God, I had a good job. I was working at New York Presbyterian. My mother got me a good job over there. I had a decent salary for somebody that didn't have any type of degree. I mean, I had a better salary than a lot of people that had a degree, actually. My girlfriend at the time got an internship, and she had a good salary, and combined, we could have made it happen. It could have been realistic in New York City. You know, crunching those numbers, man, rent is really high. You got to get your Metro card, your monthly, it's going up every month. You know, there's so many things you got to consider in New York City. And I was crunching the numbers, and I think we can make it happen. I think we can make it happen. You know, I had about $6,000 in the bank. She had about $3,500 in the bank. It wasn't a lot of money, but it was a lot of money for us. You know, and I was thinking I could make this happen, but I knew in my heart, like, there was just a deep, grave feeling, not now, not now. You see, on the paper, it looked like we were an ideal couple, a great godly couple, musical, gifted at speaking, have a good way with youth, you know, so we would come in here and serve and do our thing, and everybody thought we were great. You know, I think we all come into this house sometimes, and, you know, there's an image that everybody has. I'm going to pick on my dad. I love my father to death. He's going to kill me for this. But my father was a translator for the deaf ministry over here. And people would come up to me and be like, man, your dad has the face of an angel when he does sign language. And people would tell my dad that, hey, I wish I had a son like AJ. You know, I wish I had a son who would take care of all these boys. But people did not know who we were back at home. They did not know. I terrorized my home for years. I caused my dad not to be an angel many times in my life. People didn't know what was going on in my relationship with Asia. You know, there was a problem. There was a sin problem that was affecting everything. You know, at the beginning, it was awesome. We thought God was bringing us together. You know, we're going to do great things. We're going to do music. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. And as we got to know each other, we were really young. We were 20 years old and naive. And I was moving real fast, and I thought I had the world. I could control everything, and everything's going to work according to my plan. And as time went on, this thing called sin got into my relationship. And let me define sin for the purpose of this service. It's not an exhaustive definition, but it's simply in a rebellion against God. Sin is at its root is when God says go right and you go left. When God says to do things this way, and you say, no, I understand you're the creator of the world. I understand that, you know, you're responsible for this miracle called birth. I know you did all these things, but I got this situation. I could do this. I can figure this out. And I did this repeatedly in my life over and over and over again. And this thing called sin, it's a disease. It's a cancer. It's something the Bible talks about very strongly. Started consuming my life. Started consuming my relationship with the woman that I love so dearly. You know, and Jenna spoke about idolatry. And slowly what brought me and my wife, me and my girlfriend together was God. The common denominator was God. It was our relationship with God. But as time went on, she started to usurp the position of God in my life. And it wasn't her fault. It was my fault. It was my fault. I started pitting her above God in my life. And I try to put God in a little box in my life and still do what I wanted to do and, you know, take control of my life. But it really didn't work. Throughout the course of time, as the years went on, I kept failing her in many departments. I failed her morally. I failed her. I wasn't a responsible leader. I didn't have my finances in order. You know, I was just being dictated by my obsession with her. And so I knew this would consume me. And I knew better that if I were to get married at this point in my life, at 24 years old, and spend this money and strive to build something, that it would collapse, that I would hurt her, that I would hurt her family, that I would hurt my family, and I would destroy a lot of relationships in this church, that a lot of young people that are looking up to me would be disappointed. I knew I had to do something. And as the weeks got on, and I'll tell Age, like, we can't do it. We can't, the math is not working out. You know, average one-bedroom rent in New York City is $3,000. We can't do it. You know, there's no way we're making $3,000 a month. You know, and justify all these other things. But I know the real reason. I knew that I had failed enough in my relationship to know that I would not lead well in any type of marriage. So God started revealing his plan to me. He started revealing his plan to me, and I want to get back to that in a moment. There's a story in 2 Kings chapter 5 about a man named Naaman. This man was a commander. This man was an army guy. He was notorious. He had favor with the king. Everything was going his way. People liked him. People praised him. But he had a problem that not a lot of people knew about. He had leprosy. He had a skin condition that was threatening to consume his whole life and his career and life as he knew it. So he found out about a man of God in a neighboring country that was enslaved to this country. So he went and made a journey to this man of God. He spoke to the king of his country, went to the king of the other country, packed up all this gold, all this silver, all these clothes, and made this journey to this man of God's house, his prophet, his name Elisha. And he had an expectation in his mind and in his heart. He had a hope in his heart that he would be healed, that this God of Israel, this God of Elisha, could cure him of his leprosy. And he made the commitment to go out there. And he did it. It wasn't an overnight journey. It was a long journey. And finally, when he gets to the house of Elisha, when he's finally at the cusp of his cure for his disease that is threatening to take over his whole life, he knocks on the door. Elisha knows he's coming. Elisha sends a servant to this dignitary, this decorated man. He doesn't even go out to greet him and says, Naaman, you want to be healed. You got to go bathe in this river, Jordan, seven times. and you'll be healed completely. End of conversation, slave leaves. Elisha doesn't even meet him. And Naaman is out there and he's mad. He is angry. He is hot. He made a journey. He put all this effort in. He brought all this gold, all this silver, all these clothes to buy God's healing in his life, to buy his deliverance, to do things his way. And he says to his slaves, he goes, I thought this man was gonna come out here, pray to his God, wave his hands in the air, and boom, I'll be healed, and I'll go back on my way. And the news and the plan that he received did not fit what he wanted to do. And now he's angry, and he's about to go home. He's about to go back to his country. He's gonna try to figure out how to cure this disease on his own or just live with it and let it consume his life. But a slave walks up to him and says, Master, didn't this man say that you would be healed completely? He has a decision to make. He has to humble himself. And this is a high guy. This is a high figure in his government. He has to humble himself to this neighboring country, to this country that's enslaved to his country, and listen to this man of God and do what he says and bathe in this nasty river. When I could just go bathe in the rivers in my country, why can't I do it this way? He had to do it God's way. He had to do it Elisha's way. The way God told Elisha. In my life, when I started trying to seek out God's will for the next step in my life, I heard this S word in my head. And it's called Summit. And as a child growing up in TSC, you don't really aspire, at least my class, you don't really aspire to go to Summit or what it was called when I was younger, Mount Zion. And when God started putting it on my heart to go to Summit, I started getting scared, man. I started getting real, real scared. I was like, here, I got this wonderful woman in my life who's smart. She has a master's degree. I don't got any type of degree. She's pure. She hasn't kissed another guy. She's going well in her career. You know, now God's asking me to go to a Bible school where I can't be in a relationship, where I got to submit my phone so I can't talk to her. I have limited access to the internet, and I'm going to exclusively seek God's face. I mean, God, I love you, but I don't know if I love you that much. Yeah. And I'm being honest. I'm being real honest. I was scared. There was a fear in my heart. I was like, how am I going to, this woman's expecting a ring from me, and I'm going to say, hey, honey, yeah, no, that marriage, I'm going to go away for 2 years, you know? But I couldn't shake it. And then my mother-in-law now was my girlfriend's mom. That same day when I started coming to that conclusion, she spoke over my life, and she was like, AJ, and if you know my mother-in-law, she's a very firm, spiritually firm woman. She's like, God told me you got to go to Summit. That's the plan for your life. You know, that's where I really feel like you need to go there. And it was like a seal. Like, man, I don't want to do this. I really don't want to do this. This is expensive. It's going to cost me a lot of money. It's going to cost me my relationship. It's going to cost me so much. I'm going to have to drain my bank account to do this, to pay for my first year. And I don't even know what's going to happen the second year. You know, I don't know how she's going to respond to this. I don't know is abounded. Question marks abounded. And then I spoke to my girlfriend, and I told her what God was putting on my heart, and it was a very emotional conversation. And, you know, to come to my surprise, God was putting the same thing on her heart. I didn't even think that she would go. You know, why would she sign up for another 2 years of school? That's 8 years of school. Why would she do that? You know, but God put it on her heart, and that created a new problem. It was like, well, how are we going to do this at Summit? Like, you know, and we have to go up to leadership and talk to them, Nick Godshall and Ryan Seaborn and the whole staff over there were so gracious with us, but we had to make a commitment to stop doing things our way because there was a disease that was threatening our lives, that was threatening our relationship, that we could not control, that we tried for 4 years to build something and it didn't work. We weren't going anywhere. Proverbs 14 talks about a man plans his own ways, but in the end it's death. And that happens over and over and over again in my life. And I've been a failure most of my life. Most of my life has been defined by failure. But I've made a few key decisions in my life to just swallow the pill and obey God. And it's worked out amazing, amazing in my life. Let's go back to the story about Naaman. Naaman, for some reason, in this moment where he's really angry and he's about to go back to his home country without deliverance, without healing, for some reason he submits himself under the word of God, goes to the Jordan and bathes. And immediately he's healed. Immediately, leprosy gone. And I wish that was the case for me. Sometimes we want a solution that quick, something that simple. Just let me bathe 7 times. This whole sin problem, this failure, this lust, whatever, it's going to stop. it's gonna stop. But it doesn't work like that. For me, that the 7 times was 2 years for me at Summit. And the first time I got to Summit, I went in my room and there was an RA there and he was really, really, really happy, but I wasn't really happy to be there. And he left and I cried. And then I went outside and I saw Asia get on campus because we came separately. We got there, I saw her, and she cried, and her parents were crying. And, you know, we just separated from that moment, and the school was so gracious, and while God was pulling us apart, and I had to watch my girlfriend interact with other guys and do other things and, you know, be it by myself. The relationship was non-existent on that campus. The label, the term, everything was gone, and God started to do a deep work in my life. Pastor Dave is going to come out here in a few minutes. But I want to tell you that God wants to come into your heart tonight. But let me warn you, when he comes into your heart, he doesn't want a room in your house, in your heart. He's going to come in. He's not going to renovate the whole thing. He's going to reconstruct everything. He's going to knock down walls. He's going to remodel it. He's going to do a lot of things. And that's a painful process. We clap our hands and that's awesome, but it's a painful, painful process. It's not easy, but it's worth it. You know, I failed so much in my life and I disappointed my brothers. I disappointed my family. In my heart, I wanted to succeed at home. I wanted to succeed in the church. But the only way to succeed in life is by obeying God. It's by doing things his way, by surrendering like Naaman, by surrendering by the grace of God like I did in that crucial moment of my life and letting go of my plans, letting go of how I wanted to do things and submitting myself to the process. You know, God doesn't do this for fun. He doesn't do this for amusement. He does this because he loves us. He does this because he wants to dwell intimately in our hearts. And he can't dwell intimately in our hearts until our affections are set on other things. It can't happen. It can't happen. There's somebody I'm talking to tonight. There's somebody here that you have a decision to make. You have a phone call to make. You have a relationship to end. You have to do something because God wants to invade your life. He wants to bring healing in your life. He wants to cure you of the leprosy. He wants to cure you of this thing called sin. Just real quick, I got to wrap this up. 2 years at Summit, the greatest 2 years of my life, the most painful 2 years of my life. But when I was there, God began doing a work, and would you believe it? By sometime in my second year, I got to a place where success in my life wasn't defined by whether I got to marry Asia or not. Success in my life was defined by my love for God and my obedience to God. It was a painful process, but it brought so much healing. I got to go to Medellin, Colombia, and witness to drug addicts and orphans. I got to record an EP. I got to do music. I got to do so many things I love. I got to build friendships with 60 people in my class that are friends for life, with teachers, with mentors. God did so many things in my life. And by the time I graduated, God gave me the okay to get married by his grace. And you know, I just want to stress this. Getting married wasn't the happy ending. It was obeying God. Because if me and Asia didn't get married, it will still be a happy ending because God had good plans for us. And by the mercy of God, his plan is so much better, so much bigger, so much greater. At my engagement, I got on my knees and somebody took a picture and I looked at this picture because I did it at Summit and I was surrounded by, it was a lot of people in my engagement. I had my former junior high students. I had my brothers. I had my family members, my classmates. I had the church leadership, all these people were surrounding me and watching this moment. And this was a moment that I could never create. This is a moment I could have never planned. Only God could have done it. And the ensuing process, my wedding, everything, I've been married for 5 or 6 months now. It's been an amazing process. But none of it would have happened if I did not obey God. God bless.
You know, the message tonight has been this, his way. Through the music, through the testimonies, his way. That's the message for you tonight. No other way, his way. His way is a righteous way. It brings you to a place of humility and surrender where his way is a way of freedom. His way is a way of deliverance. His way is a way of setting you free from the bondage of sin, anxiety, and the fears. His way sets you free from darkness. His way sets you free from hatred and not knowing where to go. His way sets you free from anxiety and not feeling like feeling like you gotta have control, but you relinquish that control to Jesus, and his way becomes a clear path to life. His way is the way of freedom. His way sets the captives free. His way breaks the chains of sin. His way breaks bondage. His way liberates you. His way brings joy that you can't figure out by yourself. His way is the way of the cross. When he went and he died for AJ's sins, he died for Asia's sins and Jenna's sins, he died for all of our sins, he died, he goes to the cross and there becomes a transfer, and he allows us to, in his grace and mercy, to have his spirit, and suddenly his way becomes your way of living. Well, tonight, give your life to Jesus and live his way. Your way doesn't work. I'm just going to get right to it. His way works. Would you stand up with me? And if you're saying yes to his way tonight, if you know you're getting that tug in your heart and she's getting that stir right now, and you know it's the truth, you know that you need to lay down your way and take up his way, then I want to pray with you. We're going to pray with you. We're going to worship the Lord. Come down closer. We're going to pray with you.
God, in the name of Jesus, God, we lift up all those coming to this altar right now, God. All those in their seat, oh God, still questioning, God, is this truth, oh God? I come against all unbelief right now in the name of Jesus, God. God, we are a living testimony that your way is better, oh God. Your way is greater, oh God. Your way brings peace of mind. Your way brings healing, oh God. God, I pray for every broken heart in this place, oh God. Every heart that's hurting, oh God. And I pray right now for the grace to admit, God, that they are in need of a savior, oh God. God, I pray that you would be their healer tonight, that they would release themselves, oh God, to welcome you in, to open the door of their hearts, oh God. Remove the pride, oh God. Remove, oh God, all the walls that we place up, oh God, to keep you out because we're scared, oh God. God, I pray against fear in this moment right now in the name of Jesus, oh God. And I pray for a boldness by your Holy Spirit to say yes, to open the door, oh God, and say, come into a agreement that your way is better, oh God. Your way is the way to life. Your way is the way to forgiveness. Your way is the way to eternal life. God, a life of peace. God, a life of healing, oh God. God, I pray for healing in this place, oh God, from past relationships, oh God, from addictions, oh God, in the name of Jesus, oh God. I thank you, God, that in your way, there is no more addiction. In your way, God, chains are broken in the name of Jesus. God, we thank you, oh God. Chains are breaking right now as they cry out to you as their savior, as their healer, as their deliverer, oh God. We cry out to the name that is above all names, that at the name of Jesus, every knee must bow and every tongue must confess, oh God, that you are Lord. You are Lord. We declare you as Lord of our lives tonight in the name of Jesus. We will walk out of these doors doing things your way, oh God, because your way is better. We declare it tonight. We take hold of that tonight. Your way is better. Yes, it's hard to let go. Yes, it's hard to let go of some relationships. Yes, it's hard to come into agreement. Yes, it hurts. But God, I thank you that there's a healing that comes out of it. I thank you that there's a joy that comes. There's a joy that comes. Hallelujah, God. You've given us the joy tonight, oh God. You're restoring everything the enemy has tried to take. You're restoring our purity tonight in the name of Jesus. You're restoring, oh God. Restore, God, everything the enemy has tried to take in their childhoods right now in the name of Jesus. I speak life again. God, pour your life back into them in the name of Jesus and cause them to walk out of the grave tonight in the name of Jesus. Thank you, God.